Welcome to the Talent Smart Podcast. Our intention in each episode is to interview interesting and inspiring people who will offer their insights into their areas of expertise. We want to explore how technology and business can improve and enhance the world. We're always keen to hear from you and let us know what topics you'd like to hear us cover in future episodes. Also, if you'd like to take part, please let us know. We're always looking for interesting and inspiring people to interview. Speak soon. Philip, welcome back. Thank you for recording another episode with us. I was fascinated by our last talk where we talked a lot about the relationships and what it is to be human in the world of work today. We touched on something there that I really want to explore a bit further in this episode, and that's that a lot of talk at the moment around this word resilience. And I just want to unpick it with you because you and I have done this before a couple of weeks ago and I was fascinated. I thought other people would be really, really keen to hear more. And I know it's something you do a lot in your techniques for living as well, so people can obviously explore that for themselves. Yeah. I guess, how does somebody go about building resilience? There's my starter for 10, which is a big question, I know, but I want to be more resilient. Where's my starter? Where do I go?
I think the first thing to do is to look at the word resilience. I was asked to put an all-day workshop together for a client at the beginning of last year, when we could still do face-to-face workshops. And he said he wanted to be on the subject of emotional resilience. I thought, okay, great. So the first thing I did is look up the word resilience in the dictionary.
Right.
And there's a couple of meanings. The first one, I think one that can come to mind is, it was in the same cohort of language root of the word resilience, which is to resist, to be strong, to withstand.
Right.
Yeah. And I think some people can hear the word resilient as being, I'm going to be resilient. You know, I'm going to be like Teflon. It's just going to bounce off me. And yeah, you can do that for a while, but I think we all probably know that that ain't sustainable, because that isn't the way human beings are made. It's not the way
life
works. So if the if that's not the way, then the other meaning of the word is to be resilient in terms of coping with what life throws at us, rather than bearing it, resisting it, or pretending it's not happening.
Right.
And then that causes me to think, so what's the dynamic, if you like, what are the dynamics of our feelings, of emotions? Because if we're talking about being resilient, we're talking about not just pretending it's not there, so how do we go with the flow then? If resistance isn't the way to be resilient, how do we embrace emotion and not just fall into a heap and collapse? Because that's another fear we can have. You know, I just accept all this emotion, all the negative stuff. I mean, I'm going to have a breakdown. So I think it's probably worth just spending a moment to think about the dynamics of emotion. And think about emotions as energy. So if we think about other forms of physical energy in the world, take us back to our schoolboy days of the laws of Newton. If we can remember them, see if I can still remember them. So three key ones, Newtonian laws of physics. Here's one. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be transformed from one state to another. Do you remember that one?
I do, yeah.
So how does that relate to emotion? If emotion is energy. So if you think about anger, for instance, five categories of emotion that I would put into what a lot of people call as the negative emotions.
Right.
I don't think they necessarily are negative, but the ones we tend to want to resist. And if we're going to learn how to be more resilient, we need to know how to work through the emotion rather than dismiss it. So if you think about one of the five categories, I'd say is the anger category. And that can encompass everything from mild irritation to frustration, to anger itself, through to full-blown hatred.
Right.
And all of the categories, and I'll go through them in sequence in a moment, are various forms of fear.
Right.
So anger is, if you think about when I'm angry, it's like, but I want that and I can't get it. So what am I frightened of? I'm frightened of not being in control.
Ah, yes.
It's okay. Fear of being, and it's interesting also, when we act out emotion, we start to get clues as to what its true nature is. So fear of being out of control, I'm angry. And if I resist it, there's a second Newtonian law of physics, what you resist persists, but with equal and opposite force. That's interesting. So the amount of energy it takes to hold down, in this case, anger, has got to be equal and opposite. So how do you feel when you're really angry and you don't express it? Tired, shit, headache. And the last Newtonian law is energy will find its least resistant point. Yeah, energy, gravity will, everything will go to ground, electricity will go to ground, water will find its own level. If a lovely northern expression, I'm from Birmingham, so I almost count as being not living in the south as long as I am. If you stop the steam coming out of the spout of a kettle, it will blow the lid off.
Right.
So when it comes down to resilience, it's not about resisting emotion, be it anger or anything else. How do I transform the state? So you can't disappear it, but I can transform it. And if you think about anger, there's I would suggest a kind of wafer thin line between anger and passion.
Right.
You know, see someone who's really passionate about something, you know, you could close your eyes and almost think they're being angry.
Yeah.
So some of the things that we can do to be resilient with emotion, and I'll go through the other four categories in a moment, is to first notice that I'm feeling. So we're reactive creatures as human beings. Our saving grace, if you like, is that we do have what we call reflective consciousness. So who's the observer? I'm feeling angry. Well, is that me feeling angry? When I'm in reactive mode, I'm wall to wall, that's all I am. I'm just like, you know, we have expressions in our language, don't we? To see red.
Yes.
Can't see the wood for the trees.
Yeah.
So one of the things about being resilient is to find ways to move out of negative emotions so we can constantly flow into the next thing, the next option, rather than just seeing that emotion, be it fear or anger or any of the other emotions within the scale. And if those Newtonian laws of physics are true, I can't disappear it. I can only transform it from one state to another. I can change anger into passion. If I resist it, it's going to get worse. In fact, the amount of energy it takes to hold it down and suppress it, that's where often depression can come from. It is suppression.
Yeah.
And it will come out anyway if you don't choose to get it out there. So being able to first spot that I'm in reactive mode, as soon as I start to spot it, I've moved into reflective mode, because the observer comes in and go, oh, I've just realized I'm angry at the moment.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you get into that and it might not be until an hour later or the next day. And then I'm into the possibility or the ability to respond mode. Remember we talked about last time, responsibility. Yeah. So reaction, reflection, response, ability. I may not always take it. If I'm really angry, I don't want to be responsible for it because it's your fault. But
well, that's the interesting thing. I guess you can transfer this, and you know, we've all done it where we're angry and we've decided to take it out on somebody, the wife, child, dog, colleague. What we're doing is transferring the anger.
Exactly. So that comes back to that third law of energy dynamics. You know, the truth will out. It'll find its way out. It won't be contained. We're not designed to be batteries. We're designed to be transmitters of energy. And our energy gets transmitted through our emotions and our thoughts and our language and our bodies. So notice our reactivity and don't be too harsh on ourselves. We are reactive creatures. someone bumps into me, you're going to bump them back or run away. You know, somebody cuts you off on the motorway, you're either going to pull way back or try and overtake them. At some point, I'll notice I'm doing that. The reflective mode, the observer kicks in.
Yeah.
And then I slowly start to have some choices, a range of options. And it might be it's not till the next day that I realized I was an arse yesterday. I pick up the phone, take some courage and say, I just want to say to you that I was a bit of an arse yesterday and I reflected on it and it didn't feel right for me. I just want to let you know. And, you know, do you want to say anything to me? And so I've jumped forward there slightly in going into solutions. And usually there are two main categories of ways to dispel negative emotion, to become truly resilient to emotion. And that's make a communication or make an action. Make a communication or make an action. It allows the energy to flow. You can't resist. You can't hold on to feeling angry or the other emotional states that are potentially negative or review as negative without it closing you down. And as I say, the amount of energy it takes to keep it, a lot of people walk around holding on to so much negative emotion from incomplete communications, incomplete relationships, looking out onto the world as though it's nothing to do with them and it's blame.
Yeah, blame for
social media and the news just reinforces that.
Yeah.
So it's at its heart, being truly resilient is to take ownership of your experience of your life, because no one else will and no one else can.
Yeah.
You know, so I just want to clarify those other five categories if that works for you.
Yeah, brilliant.
So, because it's interesting. actually, do it with me if you would. So the first category I'm just going to go through is apathy.
Right.
Just close your eyes for a minute, Phil, and think about something that you get really bored about. You don't have to say what it is, but just it either bores you or whenever you come to do it, oh, God, what's the point? And notice how that feels in your body.
Yeah. It's
kind of energy-like. Some people describe it as having a kind of heaviness to it.
It is, yeah, so because it's low, because it's thinking of tasks that I hate doing.
Yeah, okay. Okay, take a breath. And as you breathe out, let go of that thought. Now close your eyes again. And the next category we're going to dip into is upset. Literally means knocked off balance. So anything from a mild, just dropped a glass and it smashed, through to grief, somebody's died. It's all upset. And it's fear of losing something you're attached to. Might be a tiny attachment, might be a massive attachment. It's natural, it's normal. But again, the more we hold on to it, the longer it tends to be there. So if you think of something that has upset you or can upset you, again, just notice the physical changes in your body to that one. Your breathing may change, your heartbeat may change, musculature may change. If you had longer to sit with it, your sweat response even may change. And that's got a slightly different energetic feel to it than apathy.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And the third one, we won't go through all of them in that way, but the third one is fear itself. And if you take yourself through it, and it's an exercise you can practice, thinking of something that you feel apathetic about, breathe and go out of that, then something you feel upset about, then fearful of, then frustrated or angry about. That's where anger sits. It's the fourth one. And the fifth one, which is a bugger because it's one that human beings don't like to admit. And it's hard to register it as an emotion, but it is one. And it's the gateway to all the positive stuff. Of course, it's not something that you and I do, but it's stubborn pride.
Right.
And of course, we're completely exempt from that because we're perfect. And I'm caricaturing. That's what I'm like when I'm in that. It's that righteousness. It's that I'm damned if I'm going to feel angry because it's your fault. Or I know they upset me, but I'm going to get them back. Or, oh, God, why I always feel apathetic about this? Why can't someone else do it? It's the pride that stops. It's the survival brain, the reptilian part of my mind, last ditch attempt at trying to protect me actually from not feeling those negative of feeling. Because
does this play into the sort of Daniel Kahneman, Dr. Steven Peters kind of idea? So Daniel Kahneman, twin brains, and then the Dr. Steven Peters, the chimp paradox. Is there...
It's the same kind of stuff. We have the frontal cortex, which is the more developed brain, and then the reptilian or Neanderthal brain, it's sometimes called, at the back. And at the back, that's important, because up until 150 years ago-ish in the West, you know, read a Dickens novel, life was pretty scary on a physical level. You know, if you couldn't pay the rent, you could get thrown out. If you couldn't afford a doctor, and most doctors couldn't cure you anyway. Nowadays, our physical threats are tiny.
Yeah,
we actually think about it. We've got central heating, we've got pensions, we've got benefits, we've got double glazing, we've got cars, we've got airbags, we've got vaccines. I mean, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
And yet our brains haven't evolved fast enough. We still experience something we either don't understand, which makes us feel an emotion that we don't like. The adrenaline shoots around our body to give us a flight or fight mechanism response in the same amount as if there's a saber-toothed tiger coming towards me.
Right.
Now, I need it when I step off the curb and a bus comes around the corner. But coming back to resilience, it takes practice to discern, and it's my favorite word at the moment, practicing discernment, noticing my reactiveness. I'm reactive, you know. Oh, bloody hell, this lockdown. Or why did I have to go on the muddy path this morning when the walkers could have done and they broke my rhythm? Reaction. Notice the reaction and giggle to myself afterwards and then called back morning. So there's choices all the way along, choices. And being able to spot my reaction, reflect on it, and discern between reptilian brain pumping adrenaline to make me avoid something that's a real threat.
Yeah.
And pumping adrenaline that just makes me feel alive, where I can actually choose to feel the upset. It's not about not feeling it. And this is the paradox, which the brain finds very hard to hear. If we can train ourselves to feel the emotion, literally, and express it either through a communication or an action, it disappears. It goes through us. You know, when you've had a good argument and you feel better afterwards, if you've cleared up the mess afterwards, it's the same kind of principle.
In terms of the workplace, I just want to explore something with you, because sure. I've often heard people of my generation refer to the younger workers, let's say in their early 20s, there's an expression called snowflake, which I don't really buy into, but it's one that's used because I hear that there's no resilience. Now, I don't necessarily buy into that. Is there any particular drivers there, do you think? Is it often gets blamed on social media because there's an instant emotional response and reactive. So you can immediately like or dislike an image on Instagram, or you know, you can post 140 characters on Twitter or whatever it is. Does that play a part, or is it just that we've grown up and we're maybe maturing, and these guys are still exploring themselves and don't really know how to handle their emotional responses yet? Or is it something else?
I think it takes time for every generation to learn how to own their emotional responses. And I'm not just a kind of blindly optimistic person. I think there's a lot of evidence. There's lots of evidence. If you look back over the generations, in terms of just how we can talk about our emotions now, as I said in the previous episode, compare this conversation now to 10 years ago, it wouldn't have been happening. 20 years ago, it wouldn't have been happening. 30 years, definitely wouldn't have been happening. So the very fact that we can talk about it from a societal point of view is that I think we're generally working in the right direction. Within that, there will always be people who will be slow to realize that they can own their own experience, because it's scary. It's easier to blame.
Yeah.
And I think all that social media has done is given us platforms through which to blame that is just broader and wider. I don't think it's necessary. I mean, it can be a tool. It can be tools for good as well as bad, but it's a tool. So, you know, any tool can be used positively or negatively. And I think if people haven't yet learned the power, and it is empowering, of owning their emotions and working through them and finding positive ways to express them and learning from that process up until that point, the knee-jerk reactive part of being human is to blame. And if you give people mechanisms through, you know, Facebook or Twitter, whatever, through which you can blame to thousands and millions of people, as opposed to, you're like, you're going to do that because, great, you know, if you're in blame mode, let's blame everyone and tell everybody how bad they are. So I don't think it's necessarily the mechanisms that are wrong. I think human consciousness is improving. It is growing towards becoming more self-aware. And in that, you know, it's a reiterative process. It'll take generations if we ever make it, if we don't mess up the planet and kill ourselves off. It'll take a long time. And yet, I say that, it's barely a year, 100 years since psychology was even invented.
Yeah.
It's only 50, 60 years since the personal development movement kicked off. We're at the kind of a second past the hour of this kind of consciousness starting to become acceptable. And I think it is because so many other aspects of our lives have been handled. The fact that we are predominantly in the West, at least, able to move beyond the bottom sections of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if you like. We have got, potentially, if we know how to use it, time on our hands. We have, potentially, if we know how to use it, spare capital. And I think the pandemic in the last year is really starting to push the agenda of those questions of, so what do we want from life?
Yeah.
You know, if it's becoming more acceptable to express my emotions, to become resilient in having them and expressing them and having them part of me, when it starts to dawn on people that true emotional resilience isn't about being polished and perfect and calm all the time and not reactive, you're either dead or asleep or the Dalai Lama. And most people are neither of those three. Some are kind of the walking dead and some are emotionally asleep. But I don't think that's the state that people want to stay in. People want to understand how to become more owning of their state. Because I think also people, you know, the generations are moving. My kids, though, they're 27 and 30. They don't use Facebook much anymore. They've come off a lot of social media because they've found that the blame culture isn't something that actually, they're not that interested in that. They'd much rather have discrete conversations with people that are meaningful to them.
Meaningful.
Yeah.
I think meaningful is such a key word. And it's interesting that you talk about ownership of your emotions, and it's such a, you know, key part of resilience. And I listened to a story recently. It was on the Tommy Tiernan podcast, actually, an Irish guy, and he spent 7 days in a retreat, which I know you do regularly. And it was a silent retreat, and they did the discussion at the end. This young lady described how she was, took her 2 days to own her anger. She described the feeling as like burning from the inside out.
Yeah,
came out of the other side of it, feeling like a new person, because obviously deep-seated anger that had been there for whatever, however long, and driven by who knows what. But I think owning emotions is just, it's just so important.
It's critical. And within the Techniques for Living courses that I'm producing, the first set of courses will be on this.
Yeah.
Because those three categories of the techniques that I mentioned in the previous episode of self or personal management, then interpersonal management, then relationships, the me, you, us cycle.
Yeah.
I can't really own the communication with someone else or the relationships I have with other people to the degree to which I can own and manage me.
Yeah.
And resilient, being resilient, and and hearing that word, it's almost, I do work with people to help them reframe in their own mind. Resilience is surrender. But there's a big distinction between surrender and resignation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Resignation means, what the hell, I'm giving up. But if I give up to a situation, I think the meaning of surrender in this context is greatly akin to the philosophy behind most martial arts. You know, if you've got a 5 foot tall, lightweight person, and I'm 6 foot three, and I'm 96 kilos, I'm not very skilled in martial arts. If they were a black belt, they would win. And yeah. It wouldn't be that they could outwit, they couldn't push against my energy and my strength because I'm stronger than them. But what they do is they take my oncoming energy. If I lunged at them, rather than block it, they'd take it and turn it and spin it and debunk it by using the energy coming towards them. And really, that's the way of thinking about that progression through the energy tree, I call it, from apathy to upset to fear to anger to stubborn pride, because they are all aspects of fear. Apathy is fear of the same, fear of change. Upset is fear of letting go of things I'm attached to. Fear I'll come on to in a moment. Anger is fear of loss of control. And stubborn pride is fear of letting go.
Yeah.
And fear itself, my favorite acronym of fear, F-E-A-R. But there's two, actually. There's F everything and run, which is good to kind of smile about fear sometimes. But the one that I think is really poignant and real for me is fear is false evidence appearing real. And that's when, you know, when I talked in the previous episode about the mind-body phenomena.
Yes.
That physical linkage. You know, when I asked you to sit still and think of a thought that was sad, your body changed.
Yeah, it does. I can feel
it. Tiny. I mean, it's very subtle.
I also noticed my breathing changed as well. So.
Yeah. So your thoughts are linked to your body, which produce emotion. And we name emotion because of the context. So if I were to be in front of a bank manager for a loan that's critical to my existence, and I was wired up to a machine, my breathing would change, my heart rate would change, my musculature would change, and I might call that fear. And if I was at the top of a ski slope on a sunny day, about to push myself off past that point of no return, and I was wired up to the same machine, my breathing, my heart rate, my musculature, my sweat response might be showing exactly the same physical reactions, and I'd call that excitement.
Yeah.
And interestingly, I've never seen anyone go to their bank manager saying, I'm excited about this loan I might get turned down on. And equally, I've never seen anyone go to see the bank manager and come away with a broken leg.
Yeah, that's true. unless you bank with some unscrupulous individual.
Exactly. So it shows that the context of how we hold emotion.
Yeah.
In terms of whether emotional fear can be absorbed and experienced, rather than physical fears that we think that we can control, like skiing, and often obviously we can't. We'd much rather choose a physically challenging situation than an emotionally embarrassing one. And yet the same mechanism to learn to experience the feelings, not be frightened of them, and communicate from that standpoint, make an action. You know, I'm scared to talk to you about this conversation we had last week, Phil, but I want to talk to you about it. Have you got a minute? It's that kind of ownership of emotion and then communicating about it that leads to true resilience.
Philip, that's been absolutely fantastic. I really appreciate all the time you're giving us here. It's been amazing, and I can't wait to talk to you on our next episode as well. But it's been so kind of you to give some time. Thank you very much. And I hope everyone out there starts to learn more about themselves, their emotional management, and can start to build some resilience. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank Thank you for listening to this episode from the Talent Smart podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. We're always keen to hear your feedback. Please let us know your thoughts and what episodes and what topics you'd like to hear us cover in the future. Our intention in each episode is to interview interesting and inspiring people who offer their insights into their areas of expertise. We're keen to hear from you. Please let us know your thoughts and if you'd like to take part in future episodes.